Just want to encourage someone today that is feeling that pressure that is pushing down on you, and you feel you cannot stand against it some days. I was there. I'm not even going to repeat to you the thoughts that I was having. Now, I'm not talking about taking life and stuff like that, but just wanting to go in a different direction because of the pressure. Wanting to take, the easy way out. Sometimes when we come under pressure, when we've made a life change, a life decision, especially if you think about people that are newly born again. You know, when the pressure comes in, man, the first thing they want to do is go right back to where they were, because that was easy for them. That was convenient. That was comfortable for them, right? And I don't think being a Christian, even if you've been a Christian for years and years and years, there are times when pressure comes and you're seeking another way because you don't want to stand under the pressure. And I can tell you, I was there. But the first step is recognizing the problem. The second step is applying the blood and the word. Amen? Turn to Luke 4:18, a very familiar passage. I know you all know this and can quote it by heart. But Luke 4:18 talks about these things, and it talks about Jesus coming to relieve us of these things. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let me read this out of the King James. 4:18 says, this is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now the Amplified on part of that says this: to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. That pressure, that oppression, being pressed down, Jesus came to deliver us from that. And once I recognized that, I believe there was a spirit of oppression, a tormenting spirit of oppression that was on me. Once I realized that, then I started applying the word, pleading the blood, and that spirit had to leave. I submitted myself to God, and I started resisting, and he had to flee. Amen? Yes. I started applying Isaiah 54, where it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue, even the tongue of the enemy that rises up against me, shall be condemned by who? By me, my own words. I'm telling you, if you are feeling that pressure today, if you are pressed on and you feel you cannot stand, you've got to recognize that and apply the word of God and speak it forth and speak those things that be not as though they were. The victory that you see on the other side, start speaking it forth. Amen? Now the cool thing that after the victory came, after that storm, there was something beautiful that was born out of it. Something beautiful. And I can't share it with you right now, but I will share it with you when the time is right. But I want you to understand that whatever you are going through right now, there is breakthrough close at hand. And when that breakthrough comes, there is something beautiful waiting on the other side. Can you believe that today? That idea that that extreme pressure can produce something beautiful. Turn to James chapter 1. Again, this should be very familiar scripture to us all. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 out of the Amplified say this. It says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Consider it wholly joyful. I mean, that just doesn't seem right, right? How are we to be joyful in a time of trial? How am I to be joyful when I feel that pressure pushing in on me? I feel my lungs are going to collapse at any second and I just can't bear it anymore. How am I to consider it wholly joyful? Well, because the Word says that we are. It says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. Trials produce patience. And then that patience does a thorough work in us, and we end up lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Did you know that diamonds are formed under extreme pressure and heat? You know, they're not just existing. They don't just exist. They are formed by a process, by extreme pressure and heat. But did you know that something else can form a diamond? Science tells us that a collision, a high impact collision, can form diamonds. Science tells us that, like, if an asteroid hits the Earth, which it has, according to them, years and years ago, I don't know how many years, I'm not going to quote it. But diamonds form from that intense impact and the energy that is released at impact. And it's similar for us. The collision for us happens when our spirit and soul collide with Jesus at our new birth. Something beautiful is formed from that. Our justification. You are a new creature, right? I mean, that's what the Word says. When you become born again, we have that. We collide. We collide with Jesus, and it creates something beautiful, something completely new, something that never existed before, and that's what we are. That's our justification when we come to meet Jesus. But then through pressures or trials, we are transformed into something beautiful as well. And that's our sanctification. That's the process that we go through, if we allow it. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 5 out of the Amplified says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Through justification, our foundation becomes Christ, the rock. That is our foundation. Then through sanctification, our transformation happens as we begin to build our house on that rock and fill it with all precious things. Recently, I had the opportunity to work on a house that had been abandoned for over a decade. And it was just left to the elements, if you can imagine a house left to the elements, and just all kinds of damage. Water damage had happened. You know, every doorknob in the house was frozen. You couldn't even get in and out of the doors. There was dirt and dust, and it had just piled up. And, you know, all the appliances were just destroyed. There was nothing left working. It just rust and decay had taken over. The weeds had grown up. Oh my goodness, the weeds were taller than the house. In fact, you couldn't even see the house because the weeds all around it, just abandoned. Well, that house needed a little time and attention. And so does this house. This house. This house. needs attention. Could you imagine that house being full? And I'm talking, the roof was in poor shape, leaks. Could you imagine that house being full of gold and silver and diamonds and all manner of precious things? Could you imagine? And then just letting the house rot around that? In fact, the only good thing, that there was only one thing that survived in that house. And this is not a joke. This is the truth. It was a thing of toilet paper. There was a pack of toilet paper sitting on the counter in perfect condition. I know, because I used some of it. When you got to go, you got to go. So I used some. A pack of toilet paper amongst all this rotten decay and everything falling down around you, water and damage and appliances and just stuff destroyed. There is a pack of perfectly good toilet paper sitting right there on the counter. Man, if I'd have known that, I'd have rushed down there about a month or so ago when we were in our shortage, because I could have got me some. But letting that house, just imagine just that house full of treasures. And it was, really. I mean, honestly, it was, think of a house. I mean, it was fully furnished, complete with everything. I mean, and it just, I mean, the furniture, no good anymore. You know, the wood had decayed to the point where it was just falling apart. You know, appliances, nothing, knobs not working. Just abandoned and just left to rot and decay. So there was nice things in there, nice things too. Nice tables that just the mold had gotten to and water damage. Just letting that house fall apart. Imagine it being full of riches and treasures and precious stones and gold and silver and letting the entire house fall apart around it. But think, how much more do these earthen vessels contain? Think about this house and think about the treasure that is contained inside of this house. And yet, we don't give time and attention to this house sometimes. Those precious things that are contained inside of us, but yet we don't want to maintain the house that contains them sometimes. Just like those diamonds formed at a collision, your spirit man collides with Jesus and bam, instantaneous rebirth, new creation. But just like diamonds formed through heat and pressure and time, your soul is transformed as well. Just like your body has to exercise to stay in shape. Y'all do know that, right? It takes a little movement here and there to keep our body in shape. Well, so does your soul. It requires daily spiritual exercise. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8 in the Amplified reads like this. Nope, I'm in 2 Timothy. Hey, that's pretty good though. Let me read this. As to what remains henceforth, there is laid up for me a victor's crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense me on that great day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved and yearned for and welcome His appearing or His return. That's you and me. We sung about the victor's crown. Amen. There's one laid up for us as well. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "For physical training is of some value, useful for a little. But godliness or spiritual training is useful and of value in everything and in every way. For it holds promise for the present life." For this present life, when you do spiritual training, it has affects this present life and for the life which is to come. Amen? So for all those that don't like physical exercise, Scripture backs it up. It only helps you a little. But if you apply spiritual exercise, man, that will benefit you much. Not just in the life here to come, but right in the here and now. Amen? So what are we doing? What are we doing to build our soul up? What kind of time and attention are we giving to the maintenance of our soul? You know, your spirit man is born again. That your spirit man is perfect. But your soul, man, needs some help. Needs some maintenance. What are we doing to maintain that? Are we fellowshipping with God? Do we love our neighbor? Do we read His Word? Man, y'all get tired of hearing those three things, I'm sure. But how does faith come? By hearing and hearing it over and over and over and over again. Not to the point where you just let it go in one ear and out the other. No, no. You've got to soak it in each and every time and let it permeate down to your spirit man. Remember last week we shared a scripture that said we have a more sure word yet than even those that walked with the Christ. We shared that last week. Well, if that's true, how important is it that we give attention to it? If we have a more sure word than those who walked with Christ even, but yet we don't give it attention, you know, what does that say about ourselves? I know, man, I feel like I'm coming down on myself and other people, but it's not. It's to encourage you. It's to stir you up. It's to cause you to give attention and maintenance to what needs to give attention to. In other words, because if you don't, just like that house, man, it's going to crumble all around that precious treasure contained inside. How often do we engage the Holy Spirit in our life? That precious promise that was given to us for our benefit. That precious gift that when the Christ left this earth, sent and gave to us. I like to think of it this way. If Christ is our unshakable, unmovable foundation, and He is, then the wind of the Holy Spirit propels us forward and is how we maneuver in this life. I say, let Him propel us. It was so cool. The house that I was telling you about that I was working on, it's down in Whitestone, which is on the bay, Chesapeake Bay. And how many know what an osprey is? How many have ever seen an osprey with your own eyes? Well, a lot of people mistake ospreys as eagles. They're not. They're really a part of the hawk family. I don't know. Anyways, that's good enough. You understand. But I was out sitting on one of my breaks, one of my many breaks, because I love the water. I love the ocean. I love the salt breeze. And I was sitting there, and the salt air was just hitting me in the face. Nice headwind coming in there. And I looked up, and there's this osprey. And I don't know how far up. It was, I could still see him, so it wasn't too far. And he was just... His head was pointed into the wind, but he was just sitting there. Just sitting there, just hovering. I mean, it was like a picture. He was just sitting so still, and it just amazed me. And it was a strong wind. It wasn't just a breeze. I'm talking a strong headwind coming in. And he's just sitting there. And all of a sudden, you would just see him just a little something, and he'd go this way, and a little something, he'd come back this way. And then... Trust me, I don't understand aerodynamics at all. But I'm sure he was doing something with his wings. And man, all of a sudden, he would do something and then dive down. Like, I mean, just the speed of his dive. And he was going forward into the wind, but diving down. And then he'd come back up and let the wind just hold. And just he'd just sit there. I was assuming he was looking for his next meal. But... The wind propelled him. He used the wind to maneuver wherever he had to go. And even in the face of a strong headwind, he was making forward progress. And so it got me to thinking. That's what the wind of the Holy Spirit does for us here in this earth, because Jesus sent him as our counselor, our advocate, our standby, our helper. That Greek word for spirit is pneuma. And that word means wind or breath. Y'all heard what happened to the disciples when they were in the upper room waiting? Remember Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until the gift would come? Scripture says it was like a mighty rushing wind that came in there. And the Holy Spirit shook things up. The Holy Spirit provided power for them to be witnesses in all the earth. So when you think about it, if Christ is your firm, unshakable, unmovable foundation, and you trust and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and maneuver you through this life, just like that osprey, propel you forward, riding on the wings. And then, like Genesis said, what did God do when he formed Adam? He breathed life into him. And what did Jesus do when he walked through the wall after they got over the shock of that? When he saw his disciples, he said he breathed on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there is pressure in this earth that comes on us. There are trials that we go through. But just like I just read in Psalm 56, who are we trusting in? In whom are we putting our trust? And then are we allowing the Holy Spirit, that gift from God, to maneuver us in this life? Are we allowing that? Today, if we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us into building up this house and then filling it with all sorts of precious treasure, and then not let us forsake the maintenance of it by neglecting the very word that He sent, then we can do mighty things, I believe, for the Lord. Amen? First, Christ, your firm foundation. Your firm foundation. Unshakable, unmovable. Second, allow the Holy Spirit to use you, to maneuver you through this life. And then third, don't neglect His Word. Don't neglect. Listen, if somebody said, hey, I have experience in this now from that project. If someone said to me, hey, I need to replace my water heater, someone will appreciate that. Because I always call it a hot water heater. And they say, it's not a hot water heater, Todd. It is a water heater, okay? It heats the water. It makes the water hot, but it's not a hot water heater. I got corrected. I stand corrected. But if someone says, hey, I need help replacing my water heater, and they come over and they bring a chainsaw with them, I don't know if you're going to get any water that day. Right? You have to have the right tools. and use the right tools correctly. That's another thing he gets on to me about is, I don't ever have the right tool for the job. A hammer is my favorite tool. I think a hammer will fix everything. Has anybody else got that mentality? Give me a hammer. All I need is a hammer, man. I'll just bang on it until it starts working. But you got to have the right tool for the right job. And how many know this is the right tool? And guess what? You have a master plumber in the person of the Holy Spirit that you can ask. Master carpenter, master electrician, right at your hands. Now, I don't want y'all to go out and design a bridge. Leave that to Gene. Listen, I just want to encourage you today. I just want to encourage you that this life here in the earth is going to throw... The enemy is mad. The enemy knows that his time is short. And I'm telling you, he is releasing his arsenal of weapons at a rate that we can't even comprehend. Just think about it, what has happened in the last 50 years. I mean, the explosion in technology alone, you know, greater in the last 50 years than probably the previous 5,950. Is my math right? It's close. This life is going to throw all kinds of stuff at you. But you have the answer. And the answer is within you. You have the answer. You can withstand the pressure. And it gives me hope knowing and just understanding that on the other side of that pressure, there is victory. And there is something beautiful waiting on the other side. And I think of Job. If you've read Job lately, if you understand that story and or that passage, and his life, and what he had, he thought he had it good, and he did, right? But what happened? Trouble came, trials came, pressure came. But he endured. He withstood. He didn't cave. He didn't give in. And what happened? He was blessed. Twice over what he had before. Something beautiful came out of that trial, that pressure. If you are going through trials today, if you are sensing pressure on you that you think you can't stand to bear, trust in God. Man, He's got your back. If you are born again, if you're a child of God, rely on Him. Set your face towards Him. And you will be delivered. You will be set free. You will be at liberty. You will be released. And I'm telling you, beauty, something beautiful will come of it. Amen? Amen. That's my encouragement for today.